What is going on, everyone? Happy Super Bowl Smonday. This is Sean Kane, your host for the Lineup Logic Daily Fantasy NBA podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I don't know how I feel about that Super Bowl Smonday thing. I don't know. It is. It fits. It's Super Bowl Smonday. And if you are a Pats fan, you are just probably showboating, gallivanting, and waving all of your New England regalia everywhere while the rest of us just watch you with disgust, as we should. I never want to hear a Boston sports fan complain again in my life. It's too good to be a Boston sports fan. And for those of us in my neck of the woods, there's a deep and somber sadness about the Falcons. Not really a Falcons fan, but I'm a big Matt Ryan guy. Went to Boston College myself, watched Ryan. Matty Ryan was our quarterback. Matty Ice was the reason that we went to football games for a long time at BC. And watching that game last night was really, really depressing because basically, beginning of fourth quarter, I turned to my wife and I was like, so the Patriots are going to score at least twice more. There's no question in my mind. Top of the fourth quarter, I was like, no question the Patriots are going to score. Question is if the Falcons can score. And if the Falcons could score, then they would probably be able to put the game out of reach, but they couldn't. You cannot give Tom Brady life. You cannot give Tom Brady life. And honestly, and I know nobody needs me to say this again, but this is the reality, right? Here's where it all comes crashing down. Falcons have a ball with 6 minutes. You get that beautiful run from Devontae Freeman. You get that amazing catch from Julio. That is when, Dan Quinn, you go traditional. You pound the rock. You're first down, you pound the rock. Second down, you pound the rock. You throw the ball on third if you have to. You bleed the clock. You force Belichick to use some timeouts. You maybe get yourself into a third and short where you can go to the tight end. You got to be more traditional. And, like, I appreciate that Shanahan wanted to be aggressive and step on the throat. Like, that's great. But you have to use the clock as an advantage, and they just didn't. And you can't leave Tom Brady any source of life because he is the Michael Jordan of football. It's that good. Anyway, that's enough with my NFL takes. I appreciate the love on Twitter recently. Got some great questions. You know, Friday night was so tilting because of the freaking Jimmy news, and Josh broke that down. Josh did a really nice job on Saturday. Shout out to Josh Fern for a great Saturday slate breakdown. He broke down the Jimmy news for us, so I'm not going to rehash that, but that was crazy. And then Kyrie on Saturday, also crazy. The Friday lineup still did pretty well for us because we had Boogie and Jimmy. And we'll talk about what some strategy learning points there because it's still cashed. But in the next hour, we'll preview the night to come in the NBA, spreads, injury news, a breakdown of players on the slate to target upcoming. We have 11 games tonight, massive slate, so many studs, really, really interesting slate. I mean, really, really, really a lot to research. Took me a while to get through all this, but before we do that, let's recap Friday's lineup. Okay, so like I said, I was still able to cash Friday, even with Jimmy in my lineup, and that's because I had the security blanket of Boogie as a late hammer. You know, I think Friday was really interesting. A lot of really good questions, a lot of people asking a lot of different things the other day. You know, here's the reality. I really benefited from the fact that I was overweight on some of the highest paced games on the night. Okay. I ended up with three plays from the Phoenix Sacramento game, and three plays from the Chicago-Houston game. And then actually I had four plays from the Phoenix-Sacramento game, three plays from the Chicago-Houston game. And then I had Wilson Chandler and Yogi Ferrell, who were also in good spots and pace up situations. So we were Collison, who did fine. He did 4X. We were on Ferrell, who crushed. He went 9 of 11 from the 3-point range, which we can't expect that again, but okay, we'll take it. He's like almost 10X there, 8X. D Wade worked out really nicely. I had D Wade basically because I couldn't find a way to get Paul George in there. So I went to Dwayne Wade, and it was really nice to have him once Jimmy was out. He did fine. He didn't really hit value, but he did get some nice buckets, some extra run in overtime, which was huge. Devin Booker crushed. Love that call. Wilson Chandler absolutely destroyed against Milwaukee. Continue to take small forwards against Milwaukee. It works. Obviously, Jimmy. Taj was also really, really nice. I liked Taj because I thought he was underpriced for his role. And then, you know, you add to that the power forward was a little thin. I thought that Taj was a nice balance between, you know, stability and price there. Willie Cauley-Stein fell flat on his face. Of course, Saturday night he crushed. And then Boogie. Boogie had a really nice game against Phoenix, 55 points, really just rock solid there. So, you know, you finish well, you finish in the cash there. That was a really nice night to come off. You know, wish that Jimmy had played. I would have been in the, I could have been and easily been above, you know, 320, 330. So I think the lessons here really, you know, here are the lessons, okay? Being overweight on pace-up games matters in cash, okay? You're going to give your – even if your shooters – even if your players are not going to play extremely well, you're going to give yourself a safer floor because of pace, increased opportunity, okay? And it's easier to predict value. It's easier to predict performance in high-pace games. You know, we saw what Willie Cauley-Stein did against Golden State. You know, it wasn't a great situation for him against Phoenix, but he had a great game the next night against Golden State. You know, if you're gonna take chances on your value guys, take chances on your value guys who are in pace up situations, right? Again, value point guards continue to be worthwhile just because of their touches, their usage. It creates a floor situation for yourself with that stability. You like that. And you know, stability, I think, is something that really matters when you're investing in your stud. On Saturday night, I kind of got bit by Anthony Davis. I really liked him against Washington, but I kind of got bit by him. He didn't really put up enough points. If he gives me a couple more points, I'm really, really good. You know, I made some 50-50s. That was fine. But you do want a stud. If you're playing cash, which remember, that's like kind of our focus here, the logic of cash games. If you're playing cash, you want a stud that profiles well for cash games. So somebody who's stable, somebody who's not priced in the extremes. You know, I think that is an important thing because if you're stable, you're going to give yourself a floor, right? You add to that, they're not priced in the extremes. You're going to open up other starter plays that are in the 5K range rather than having to dip down into the threes. There's lessons here to learn, right? My two studs on that team were both in the 9 and 10K range. Rather than being up in the 12s, that's when you limit your ability to get to some of the other value plays, and you're really punting at some of your value spots rather than taking starters who are in decent situations, a la Taj Gibson, a la Darren Collison. So I think there's some lessons. There's always lessons to be learned there. You know, and we try to take those lessons and apply them to building better lineups. So let's dive into the games tonight. All right. So I mentioned this, 11 games on the night. Crazy, crazy. Nice slate of games. Really, really, really nice. So I'll go through basically what we have as far as, you know, injury news, spreads, and then I'll try to give you guys some games to target that are high pace, that are high total games. We don't have totals in everything because you're still waiting on a couple pieces of news. But we do have a lot of totals here. So we've got LA at New York, 222 total in this one. Very juicy game. Knicks favored by 5, but the Lakers playing very well recently. Derrick Rose looks like he is going to play, but Joakim Noah is out. Noah is out, which is going to open up Hernan Gomez and O'Quinn. Look for those guys to be pretty chalky tonight. On the LA side of the ball, Julius Randle looks like he's going to be back in the lineup. I'm not really interested in Randle because he's Julius Randle and he's really inconsistent, but worth noting because he's going to affect the value of guys like Tarek Black, Larry Nance Jr., etc. Then we've got Cleveland at Washington, 217 total in this one. Wizards are only favored by 1. This is going to be a very, very competitive game. Nice pace in this game. Kyrie Irving was out on Saturday, but likely to play for tonight. That's the only injury that you have to be worried about. So not a bad game there to pay attention to. Oklahoma City at Indiana, 212 total in this one. Indiana favored by 3. That's just home court advantage, that 3 points. So competitive game here. Some interesting injury news here. Miles Turner has a game time tag because he's sick. Thaddeus Young is out with the wrist that he suffered in the Brooklyn game. He's going to be out. I don't know what the wrist injury, what the nature of it is, but that's going to be give LaVoy Allen the start at power forward. Allen's not really very sexy, but he's a serviceable basketball player, and he should be getting over 25 minutes. So we'll see. We'll see what we think of that. Clippers at Toronto, 213 total in this one. Raptors favored by 5, which is interesting. Chris Paul obviously still out, opening up the backcourt for the Clippers. Patrick Patterson likely out for Toronto, which really, really makes us love targeting the front court of the Raptors because they are brutal against the power forward, and they have been every time Patrick Patterson was out. Trevor Booker went ham on them yesterday. And then DeRozan likely out as well, still with the ankle. You know, some writers are watching him try to warm up, practice. It's just he's in a lot of pain. It's a serious ankle sprain. I don't think he's going to go. So if you want to get on that Kyle Lowry, Norman Powell train, you can. Utah at Atlanta. Ugh. One of the lowest totals, lowest pace games on the night. 197 total in this one. Utah favored by 1 in Atlanta. Rodney Hood is out, which opens up some value. But again, you're opening up value in what is a very, very, very paced down game. So, I mean, do you want Joe Ingles in a paced down situation? I don't know that you do. And then Thabo Sefolosha also ruled out. So you can chase Tim Hardaway, but why chase Tim Hardaway in a paced down situation? I don't know. You know, I'm not going to do that. I don't know how consistent Tim Hardaway is in general, but I'm not going to chase him against the Utah defense. Next up, we have Philadelphia going up to Detroit. 213 total in this one. Detroit favored by 9. Kind of an ugly game. We know Embiid is out. Covington with the hand, he's likely to return. Okafor is sick, so he may be out. Other than that, nothing on the Detroit side to be worried about. I don't know. This is kind of an ugly game. I think Drummond is in play, but I mean, I don't know. Drummond is not a cash game play, just like Whiteside isn't a cash game play. I mean, GPP for sure, but yeah, it's just risky. It's risky playing those guys. They're just so inconsistent. And we got Phoenix at New Orleans, another game over 220. Really nice game here. New Orleans favored by 6 at home. No real serious injuries to be concerned about this one. Looks like both teams should be full strength, which you really like here in this situation. A lot of guys priced up, you know, Eric Bledsoe priced up, Devin Booker priced up. Anthony Davis not quite there, but Jrue Holiday, man. Whew, 8K for Jrue. That's a lot. So a nice game to target for sure, and definitely actually some value plays in here. Miami at Minnesota, 204 total in this one. Minnesota favored by 1 at home. Josh Richardson is a game time tag. Nadi Magruder is out. So you still have Deion. If you want to go after Deion, I guess you could. Zach LaVine out for the season with that ACL. Yikes. That definitely gives a massive usage bump to Andrew Wiggins, but Brandon Rush starting in his place. So Brandon Rush should be pretty chalky tonight. People are going to go after that, which I don't love because I just don't love playing shooting guards against Miami. Defensively, they're pretty decent against the perimeter. You know, Deion Waiters isn't that good of an individual defender, but Goran Dragic is. So if you get any switch action there, you know, and Tyler Johnson's not bad, who's getting more minutes now too. You're just not going to have a great situation for a guy who's just not a high usage character in that offense and Rush. Dallas at Denver, 214 total in this one. Denver favored by 3. Dallas playing in a pace-up game. This one is interesting because it's kind of one of those situations where the Dallas front court is terrible, and that's where Denver's strength is, and the Dallas backcourt is pretty solid, and that's where Denver's weakness is. So kind of an interesting opportunity to kind of target opposites. Deron Williams likely out. He's doubtful right now with the toe, which is good. Andrew Bogut is out. For the Denver side of the ball, Jamal Murray and Emmanuel Mudiay are both kind of questionable right now, game time decisions, but they're I don't really know. I don't know that we would play either of them. I mean, if they're both out, then you feel like Jameer Nelson is kind of a must play, even though Yogi Ferrell's been playing some pretty solid defense. Gallinari's still out with the groin, so Chandler is available there, but he's going to be getting some, I don't know, he may get Wesley Matthews, he may get Harrison Barnes, I'm not really sure. Jokic back with no restrictions, though, that's nice. San Antonio at Memphis, 202 total in this one. San Antonio favored by 2. I'm not touching this game for pace purposes. I'm not, I mean, I realize that there's some Dwayne Dedman out there, there's some Marcus Aldridge, but this is just a slow, grinded out game that just doesn't really create a lot of fantasy goodness. So you can almost scratch this game off your slate. I mean, unless you're playing tournaments and you want to have low owned players, I think that that's possible. It just doesn't really interest me for fantasy purposes tonight. Chicago at Sacramento, 204 total in this one. Remember, Sacramento is a pace down team. They like to play in the half court with their bigs. So, you know, when you're on the road, Chicago is also not really, doesn't allow a lot of scoring. Interestingly enough, you'd think that they're kind of a pace up team with some of the backcourt players they have. They're really not. Interesting. Jimmy Butler is still dealing with the heel. I don't know if he's going to play, to be completely honest with you. On the Sacramento side, Garrett Temple's still out, so it's going to open Aaron Aflalo. I guess if you want to go there, you can. You know, Aaron Aflalo really doesn't do much offensively. You know, really, if you're interested in this game, you're interested in some of the point guard value and Collison and then Cousins. D. Wade is very interesting if Jimmy is out for sure. Okay, and that is it for tonight. That is all we have for tonight. 11 games, but, you know, hopefully if you're narrowing it down, then you really, you know, you're almost like eliminating the Memphis-San Antonio game. You know, maybe you're eliminating a couple of the other games that really don't appeal to you. Limit your player pool that way kind of helps make you make some decisions. So let's look at the juiciest games that we have here. The juiciest totals belong to Phoenix and New Orleans, Washington and Cleveland, and then, the last one over 220 is... I just lost my place. I'm sorry, guys. Last one over 220. Actually, that might be it as far as 220 goes. Just those two. Phoenix. Oh, no. Yeah. And then you have a couple in the... Then you have... The Lakers and the Lakers and the Knicks. Yeah, that one's over 220. Phoenix, New Orleans over 220. And then you kind of have the second tier of Cleveland, Washington, Cleveland, Washington, OKC, Indiana, and Toronto, LA. So those should be decent games to target as far as high totals. As far as the competitiveness goes, you really, really, really like the Washington and Cleveland game. You kind of like the OKC Indy game. And then as pace goes, you really like Phoenix and New Orleans, and you really like Los Angeles, New York. Those are really pace-up games. Washington and Cleveland actually could get pace-up as well. But let's go ahead and let's take a look at the top-tier slate players, or the top-tier players for this slate that I love. Who do you love? Okay, honestly, picking your studs tonight is going to be really hard. There is not a ton of like very, very obvious value, and you have a lot of studs at pretty high prices that are all in kind of decently comparable situations. So you're going to have to be pretty wise about picking your spots. Starting at point guard, though, you have Russ, and you have Russ in an elite matchup. I love Russell Westbrook in this spot. I don't think there's any reason to not pay for Russell Westbrook. The only thing is that without a lot of really, really chalky, easy, without a lot of really easy value, I think you'll take the $2,000 in savings and go down to John Wall, who has a really nice opportunity against Kyrie Irving defense. The game's going to be competitive. The game's going to be paced up. It's got a nice total. You want John Wall in a competitive game at home. That's what he's got here. He didn't play very well against Cleveland in November, but the Wiz were only 2-6 at that point. They were early in their year. They hadn't really figured it out. You know, they slowly but surely have gathered themselves, and January has been great to them. Wall, yes, he's inconsistent with his actual real life scoring, but he's very good at the peripheral, specifically assists. And the Cavs are pretty liberal with allowing rebounds and assists per game. Okay. Or excuse me, not rebounds. They don't allow a ton of rebounds. Their rebounding is actually pretty solid. Cause the combination of front court players plus LeBron basically soak up those mid range rebounds. But they do allow 14 plus assists per game. So, and they allow 45% shooting to their guards. So, you like the spot for John Wall. He's going to play 38 minutes. I think if you're going to attack this game, Wall is definitely part of this stack that you would want to be a part of. They're 24th to the point guard overall. But you compare that to their front court defense where they're top 10 against power forward and center. It's because they have so much size with LeBron adding that, to that 4-3 position. So, you like John Wall in this spot, and you don't mind Kyrie actually in this spot. This is the kind of game where Kyrie will actually show up. Obviously, you like him better if LeBron or Love is out. However, this is the kind of game where Kyrie could really actually show up. So if you are interested in game stacking, I think Kyrie can definitely be a part of that game stack. So John Wall, 10-6, though, that's not bad. I do like Eric Bledsoe at 9-3, but that's really, really a ceiling price for him. So I think John Wall is in a really good position if you can fit him in. At shooting guard, it's D-Wade, and D-Wade is almost a must play if Jimmy is out. But I don't know if we're going to get Jimmy news. But then again, you do love attacking the wings against Sacramento. So Dwayne Wade is in a good spot no matter what. He put a 55 last game against Sacramento. Shot the lights out. Sacramento let Devin Booker have a game. So that two position, those wings positions for the Kings is really where you attack them. Wade may end up being their primary scorer on the first unit. So if Jimmy is out, I think you have to lock in some Wade. Even if Jimmy is not out, he might be limited, right? He may still be in pain. He may play limited minutes. Wade is a very, very interesting play here. If you can find the money to play him or you go fair and balanced and you don't take a stud, Wade could definitely be a part of that lineup. He is 7-7, I believe, which is a really high price for him, by the way. Bron, you've got LeBron again in this Washington game. Small forward definitely is kind of a place where I think I want to spend down today. But LeBron is 11K. 11-2, actually, I believe. He's going to get a very competitive game in Washington. He's going to play his minutes. You know, I think what's interesting is that Washington wants to have a moment where they prove that they're a competitor in the East. And this is that game, right? They beat the Celtics already. They've beaten Atlanta badly. You know, the Cavs are the one Eastern Conference team that the Wiz really want to, like, put on warning and be like, yo, we're here. So I just like this game as far as competitiveness. And LeBron in a competitive game against an Eastern Conference rival, that's good. You know, he's averaging 26-8-8. He had 48 his last game out against the Wiz. He's been playing really well. Kevin Love is also in a really, really good spot in this game. There's just so much at power forward at the top here. I don't know if you need Kevin Love. But LeBron should have a decent game, and he's a pretty stable stud. I think he's a lock for 50 in this situation. Then at power forward, I'm not kidding when I say you could roster all if you could roster all three of the top price power forwards, I would do it. Obviously on FanDuel, you can only roster two. But you've got Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic, and then Blake. I love all three of them for different reasons. I'm going to talk up Davis, but then I'll talk up the other two and why I like them as well. Davis is 11-2. I keep coming back to him because he's his ceiling. He's at a great price. This is kind of a dream situation, right? Highest pace, high total. Phoenix is 24th against DVP to the center in power forward. Now, Davis has been playing the center, right? So he'll be playing against Tyson Chandler, who definitely is physical and can limit certain centers. But I think that Davis definitely has the upper hand here just based on athleticism and length. He doesn't have a great history against Phoenix this year. He's played him twice. But he didn't get full minutes in one of them. And one of them, I think it was during the December time when he was kind of nursing that foot injury. And you know, he seems pretty healthy right now. He hasn't had any appearances on the injury report or any limitations in minutes or anything like that. So there's 60-point upside with Davis for sure at all times. Based on the other plays on the slate, you got to think he's always one of the lower owned guys just because people get scared of him. You know, and when you have a pace up good DVP situation like this, Davis has done well against teams like LA, the Knicks, Portland, Golden State, Denver, all teams that, you know, can struggle with that position and play a high pace. And those are 50, 60 plus point games. So you think about Davis for sure. Then you drop down to Jokic. Without Bogut in the lineup, Jokic is going to play against Dirk. That's just the mismatch of the century at this age. You know, Dirk just can't guard him. You know, he's probably, you know, maybe get some Dwight Powell, maybe get some Sol Merge, whatever. It's just not Jokic should eat. I love Jokic. And then you go down even more and more down to Blake. Toronto, so if we remember Toronto in December and earlier January, when they didn't have Patrick Patterson because of the knee, they were a great target for power forward. Patrick Patterson came back last week, came back for a number of games. They stepped up their rebounding with him. He's just a bigger, physical, traditional power forward. Helps them shore things up a little bit. He's out again. The knee is back. So he's likely out, Patrick Patterson. And so you have a situation where, you know, Blake is going to be going up against Lucas Nogueira. He's fine. He's a rookie. And Valanciunas, you know, and so you love Blake in this situation. You like him at 9-2. He's had over 40 points in both of his last games. You know, I think Blake is very interesting, as is Jokic, as is Davis, you know, and I don't know that you can roster all three. I mean, you could on DK, but I don't know if you could roster two is my point, just because of pricing. But you can't really, I don't really think you're going to go wrong with rostering at least one of them. Okay. Then you go down to center. I really do like Boogie for his stability quite a bit. And I don't mind Cat also for his situation. I think they're both very stable, but Boogie is definitely the more stable. When Boogie's gotten at least 32 minutes in his last 10 games, he scored at least 48 points. And he's only scored 48 once. He scored above 50 in all the rest of those, and like three of them were above 60. His floor is just wonderful now that he has all that usage. He's really, really, like, if we talk about a safe, stable cash game play, Boogie is a really safe, stable cash game stud because everything goes through him. He is it. He's super, super aggressive. You know, he's going to get his minutes. He's going to get his buckets. He's going to get his boards. You know, he does it all. So you love Boogie in this situation. Last time out against Chicago, he put up 62 FanDuel points. He rolled. You know, Cat, similarly, north of 32 minutes, he's hit 48.7 out of the 10 times. So, you know, he can be less dominant. The thing about Cat is every once in a while, he'll just kind of disappear or someone will find a way to take him out of the game. Or Wiggins will get hot and they just don't really need Cat. That doesn't happen for Boogie. You know, Cat played Whiteside last year. He didn't play him this year. He played him as a rookie, and he didn't put up amazing numbers, but he did in one of his games when he got 26 minutes, averaged 1.38 FanDuel points per minute. You know, that's 49 points if he gets his full normal, like, 38 minutes against Whiteside. So Whiteside is definitely how you pick on the Knicks. There's a lot of great studs, a lot of great situations. I don't mind Karl-Anthony Towns, however. I don't mind Boogie at all. I like them both. The other thing is if you start one of them, you may want to stack their point guards with them. Stack Rubio or Collison with them. They have really nice correlations. So if one of them goes off, the point guard will probably go with them. Drummond is not bad. Like I said, 8-5. His inconsistency is just so terrifying for cash games. So I really don't think you cash him, especially when you have like a couple other guys in the low kind of value section, like a Steven Adams and a Hernan Gomez, you know. But if you paid attention to what Whiteside did against the Philly front court and Jahlil Okafor defense, and you've been watching what Dwayne Dedmon did, I mean, you can attack the Philly front court, guys. Like, attack it. Without Joel Embiid, it is terrible. Whiteside did 30-20. Now, Drummond's not going to score 30 points, but he could get you 20-20, and that's pretty freaking awesome if he did that. But the other thing is, okay, fine, if he gets you 20-20, this is interesting, right? Let's do the numbers, right? 20-20, oh my God, that sounds amazing. Well, it is amazing, but it is also only 44 points. So there it is, paying off value at 8-5. You know, 20-20 is amazing because you got to presume he's also going to get some blocks in there, et cetera, et cetera, maybe a steal or two. But 20-20 is only 44 points, you know? So even if Drummond goes for a killer 20-20, which is like his ceiling game, he pays, that's him paying off value. That's 5X. So the price up is not amazing. You know, you don't have a ton of games for Drummond where he goes over 40, but you do like him. If you're interested in Drummond, I don't think he's bad. You have there's a lot of interesting centers. Centers has been hard lately. It's been hard to pick, mostly because you only get one and there's some really nice ones. All right, let's go on to the fantasy grout. Mid-price guys, you're filling in around your studs anywhere from that 5K range up. My point guard is D'Angelo Russell, 6'5". I mean, his price was down quite a bit in the last couple games, but he's gone 8X, 6X, 6X. He hasn't had a game below 40 fantasy points. The Knicks are allowing 6 3-pointers on average to the point guard. That's some of the most point guard, and they allow some of the most point guard scoring in the league. You got to like Russell in this situation. He's been very good on the road in the last three games. He could continue to play well. You know, he's higher priced, and so you don't love him. You wish he was still kind of down at that price he was earlier last week. But, you know, this is still lower than what you'll see from him in the next week or so as far as price. He's going to take a jump as soon as he gets, you know, four or five games with this consistent production. He'll be in the sevens. Because that's just kind of how the algo works, I think, the algorithm. For FanDuel, they wait until it's like a 5-game consistency, and then they really will jump up that price. pardon me. You also have Yogi. Darren Williams is doubtful. Great situation for Yogi as far as DVP. His price is up, but you know, you love point guards against Denver, and Yogi's been super hot, 36 minutes plus. So Yogi is definitely still in play. And then at shooting guard is very similar. Seth Curry is absolutely in play. Curry's at 6K. He didn't play perfectly against Portland, but really, I mean, he didn't have to be as aggressive with the ball because Yogi was shooting the lights out. Dreamy matchup with Denver. Pace up. No Darren Williams. They're going to need to score. Curry has a good situation. You know, they allow backcourt scoring in Denver. That's where you want to attack Denver, is in the backcourt. So I like Seth Curry quite a bit. I also really like Oladipo, however. I think what's interesting to me about Oladipo is if you look at what he did yesterday and you watch that game and you compare his performance to Russ. Now, Russ put up 19 in the fourth quarter. Okay, great. Only Russell Westbrook, you know, elite player there, can do that kind of thing. But what I think I really was interested to see, and I'll be interested to see if this trend continues, is they asked Oladipo to do, I think they asked him, to attack the glass. Russ had 4 rebounds, which is normally about how many Oladipo has. And Depo had 14, which is normally the number that Russ puts up, right? It seems to me like that kind of aggressive, like, flop is strategic. Okay, I might be reading into this. This is guesswork, hypothetical. But the point being is that maybe they're asking Russ to stay off the glass, push out as an outlet more, ask Depot to get some of those kind of second level rebounds that Russ has been soaking up for stats. And, you know, because they want to push Russ out in transition. Logically, it makes sense. They need more easy buckets. They don't have Cantor right now. They're not getting Seneca and Union scoring. So how do you take care of that? You put Russ out in transition and you let him run the court, create foul trouble situations for the other team. You let him push pace. And Depot on the glass is pretty good. I mean, he's a big dude, right? Plus, you got Depot going back to Indiana, a little bit of narrative street there, maybe. State of Indiana, represent. Maybe he'll get some Hoosier, you know, some nice Hoosier love. I don't know. I think it's an interesting strategy point, and if we see Depot above 6-8 rebounds, then I think we know it's kind of sticking, just kind of what they've chosen to do, as far as, you know, asking Oladipo to rebound and Russ to stay off the glass. I don't know if it's going to be the truth, but you also like Depot against the against the backcourt of Indiana. That's where they struggle. You know, you can definitely attack shooting guards at Indiana. So, interesting. At small forward, I think you have to look at Melo, even though he's kind of in the elite price range. He's in the eights. He's at home. He's coming off rest. He's in a pace-up game. He only had 31 last game out against the Lakers, but he only shot 25%. I mean, let's say he makes 3 more of those shots out of 16 or 18 attempts, whatever it is. 3 more of those shots, he shoots 40+%. And, you know, all of a sudden he's got 40 points. And that's exactly where you want him to be at that price point. So I don't mind Melo at all in this spot. But I think he's kind of again, if you're doing one of those kind of fair and balanced lineups, like if you're going to figure out, okay, I'm going to play more 8K guys rather than play a stud, for example, then Melo fits in. But the other option is obviously Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins is 7-4. His usage bump with LaVine out is just huge. I don't love matchup with Miami because it's paced down, but he is at home. He is coming off a rest. He is in a decent DVP situation. Miami's just dead middle of the pack. You know, and the price is very reasonable. There's going to be some times where in the next couple months where we're going to see Wiggins above 8K because he's got takeover potential with Wiggins or with LaVine out. And there's going to be games where he scores. There's going to be games where he scores 50 FD points this spring. Like, we have to be ready for that, because with no Levine, he gets a lot more usage, a lot more touches. So I don't mind him to go for 35 FD points in this one at all. That's kind of been his average recently. So that's not bad, a bad number for Wiggins and Cash. At power forward, this is interesting. You have a couple interesting spots, but this one is kind of okay. This is a little bit of a dart. It's Porzingis. Okay. He's got a dreamy matchup with the Lakers. All right. He struggled a lot recently, but that's just kind of going to keep the ownership down. Okay. 30 minutes are there. He's had three blocks in both of his last games. You know, clearly the Achilles isn't bothering him. They're giving his, you know, they're giving him the minutes. He was sick the one other game that he sat out. He was just ill. The rebounds are where he's struggling right now. He's not really on the glass. Okay. But this is like, you know, pace up shooting game, high total game. He's going to get a lot of shot opportunities. You like his chances on the glass. He's priced down, guys, and there's going to be some regression. Like, he's going to have a 40-point game again soon. And, you know, 40 points for a guy who's priced at 6'6 is 6 plus X. That's just, I mean, you have to take that chance sometimes. And I don't mind Porzingis at all in this situation. If you find yourself off of Davis or you find yourself off of Jokic or whatever, Porzingis is not a terrible shot. Like, this could totally come back to bite me, or this could totally be the game where everybody goes, oh yeah, 7-footer who can shoot the three. I love it. You know, he had 58 last time against the Lakers. 58! Because he freaking fires the ball, man. I love Kristaps. I don't... It's risky, but, you know, GPP for sure, he's going to be low owned. I think people are scared of him in cash. It might be the chance to take a time. He only needs, or excuse me, might be the chance, might be the time to take a chance is what I'm trying to say. He only needs 33 points to hit value. That's not crazy. That's not crazy in this pace up matchup. That's not like, I'm not talking crazy when I say, okay, Porzingis, give me, you know, 18-8-6, you know, 18-8-6. That's actually, he would be crushing if he gave me 18-8-6. That's a little bit more than, anyway, you know what I mean? The numbers don't have to be astronomical for him to get 33 FD points at 5X. Anyway. All right. Steven Adams is my center. I really do like Steven Adams in this spot at 6-1. You know, they're going to be without Thad Young. Miles Turner is a game time decision because he's sick, but he's not a great defender. It's definitely going to open up the glass quite a bit for Steven Adams without another big body like Thad Young in there. You know, Lavoy Allen is a big guy, but I think that Steven Adams is in a really pretty good spot. For the last five games, he's had double digit rebounds. He's got a nice solid floor. He's only priced at 5'9". You know, if a lot of people are going to be on Hernan Gomez, which is a great play, I agree, at 5'3", but Adams is not very far off. If you find yourself in that price range and you can be like, oh, well, I got a couple extra bucks, I'll go up to Adams. You know, you love you love Adams just because he struggled recently. People might be off of him, but, you know, Hernan Gomez is going to be owned at like 40%. Adams will be owned at 20%. So, you know, if you're off Hernan Gomez, if he busts, which I don't think he will, but that's a really, really nice situation to be in. So Steven Adams is not bad. A little bit of a departure from the chalk that everybody's going to be on. But, you know, I guess we have to talk about Hernan Gomez as well. I mean, Hernan Gomez is just crushing recently. And I don't really know how else to say it. Like, dude has had 30 FD points in a number of his last games. He's getting double-digit points, double-digit rebounds, over 25 minutes, you know, and without Noah in there, I mean, that's huge. You know, that's absolutely huge. So you really, really like the opportunity for Hernan Gomez, but, you know, so will the rest of the field. So, you know, tread cautiously, tread lightly there. I think he's a great value. I don't think you need to... I don't think you have to lock him in. You know, paying up at center is a good way to switch your lineups up today, but we'll see. I don't know. It kind of all comes out of who you want as your stud, right? If you want Boogie, then you're not going to pay for Hernan Gomez. But if you want John Wall, or you want LeBron, or you want Jokic, then, you know, okay, Hernan Gomez becomes pretty freaking appetizing. The other thing, though, is, you know, okay, you could get on Hernan Gomez, but you could like Hernan Gomez, but there's no reason not to like Kyle O'Quinn either in the secondary role. He's going to get 28 minutes, and he's way cheaper. You know, I don't think that's stupid either, because they're probably going to split the minutes. Hernan Gomez will probably get 30, and O'Quinn gets 28. That's 58 minutes. And if the game goes for 58 minutes, then Sean, you're an idiot. Okay, fine. Hernan Gomez gets 28, and, you know, maybe O'Quinn gets 20 plus. Fine. They might play in the same, they might play together. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, center's going to be complicated today. All right, let's go on down to the bargain basement. We're looking below 5-5 here to try to find some value for us, try and find a little bit of way that we can get some flexibility in our lineups. At point guard, you've got Darren Collison. He is 4-8. Not bad situation at all. Chicago, we don't mind attacking the point guard whatsoever. Collison has played pretty well. He's kind of in front of Lawson right now, but it's interesting. Lawson scored more during the Phoenix game, and Collison scored more during the Golden State game. You know, they kind of do feed off of each other. They kind of trade some games here, which was frustrating to me because I was on them on reverse nights. Like, I got that wrong. I was on Collison in the Phoenix game, and I was on Lawson in the Golden State game. Stupid. Anyway. Then you have Farrell, too. He's 5'6", I believe. Yogi, though, I mean, great, great situation. You know, and if you have value at point guard, you attack the value at point guard. So much usage. Huge, huge pace bump for the Mavericks there. So Yogi is a great, great point guard value tonight. At shooting guard, yes, you can play Norman Powell, guys. Of course, you can play Norman Powell, but let's be clear about this. Even against Brooklyn, Norman Powell did not do that great. He's not that hard to stop. I think the opposite side of the ball is way more interesting. Jamal Crawford is red hot. He's back. I always love JJ and Jamal just because their situations are so stable. It just kind of depends on how well they shoot. Jamal Crawford, baby. Let's go. Alec Burks is interesting, I guess. If you're interested in Utah backups, he'll play for Rodney Hood, but that is a slow pace down game. I mean, give me Crawford against Toronto and a higher total for sure. Or give me Farrell in a pace up game against Denver for sure. And then at small forward, you're going to have Matt Barnes. Once again, Matt Barnes is in there in the starting lineup. A play in the three. He's been fine lately. He's been really good. His price is up a little bit. I think he's in 4K range. So, you know, Matt Barnes is definitely in play at small forward. No question. Decent matchup at Chicago. I think he's definitely going to start to lean towards out of play if we get any Jimmy news. Because Jimmy one-on-one with Matt Barnes is just, you know, I don't really think he's got a great situation there. But I don't know. I mean, Barnes did fine against Golden State. He had a decent game against Golden State, so. You also have Jingles, Joe Ingles. Again, if you want to attack that Utah, you know, Rodney Hood replacement, I don't really love. In fact, if I'm playing anyone in that Utah game, and I'm sorry I didn't mention him in the point guard segment, I'm going to play George Hill. He's got a great DVP situation against Schroeder and, you know, maybe a usage bump without Rodney Hood. You know, if you're touching anyone from that game, I think it's George Hill. Maybe some Rudy Gobert. But George Hill is for sure in play at 5'8". He just has been so kind of blah lately. Watch him go for 40 tonight. TJ Warren is also very firmly in play. His minutes are there. And I think the thing we need to remember about TJ Warren is, okay, when in December, TJ Warren was priced at 6'6 based on production. Like 30 fantasy points is not crazy for TJ Warren. So great situation, pace up situation, huge total. He's got the trust back a little bit. He's got the green light to go ahead and shoot. He's putting up his shots. So TJ Warren very much in play. Like I said, I think if you're really looking at value, there's some value at small forward tonight. I think that's interesting. And then you have Damari Carroll, Terrence Ross, coin flip, you know. Terrence Ross played great against Brooklyn the other night, but Damari Carroll gets the start. I don't really know. I mean, I think Ross has more usage on the second unit than Damari Carroll does on the first, because Carroll's competing for touches with, you know, Valanciunas and Lowry, whereas Ross is competing with Fred VanVleet and Lucas Nogueira. So they're probably like, yeah, Terrence, go ahead, you can shoot. So maybe Terrence Ross, he's pretty cheap. He's below 4K. Lavoy Allen at power forward is going to be the one who starts for Thad. Chalk, chalk, chalkity chalk. Not bad chalk, because he's 3,500. You really don't need much to pay off 3,500, guys. Remember, do the math. It is 17 points, 17 and a half points. That's what you need from a $3,500 player. That's not crazy. Not crazy at all. Especially if the guy is going to get 25 minutes. Then you've got Marquise Chris and Willie Cauley-Stein. I mean, they're hard to predict. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to go with Chris. There's a lot of size on New Orleans. You know, and I just don't know that Marquise Chris is going to be in a good situation there. Willie Cauley-Stein had a great game against Golden State. Of course, I rostered him when he played Phoenix. I keep getting these Kings guys wrong. We had a great game against Golden State. He's consistent in his minutes, and you don't mind him against the second unit of Chicago. I mean, you can attack the Chicago front court. I mean, he's going to be playing. If he plays on that second unit, I mean, who's he going to see? He's going to see Mirotić. He's going to see Cristiano Feliciano is out. He's going to see Bobby Portis. He's going to see, I don't know if Doug may be on the first unit. He's going to see Paul Zipser. If he gets Paul Zipser defense, then he's pretty good. Paul Zipser is in play, by the way. If Jimmy is out, Zipser gets minutes, and it seems funny to be like, oh, Paul Zipser. Well, yeah, you don't love Paul Zipser, but again, when Jimmy is out, Zipser is really getting into the rotation over Doug, because Zipser plays defense. I'm looking at Paul Zipser's recent performances. 21 against Miami, 16 against Philadelphia, 15 against OKC, 22 against Houston. I mean, that's not terrible for $3,800. 20 points at $3,800. He's been getting 29 minutes. He had 29 minutes against Houston when Jimmy was out. Paul Zipser, sleepy man, Paul Zipser. That's kind of interesting. Punt for sure, though, guys. I mean, you're not going to play Paul Zipser in cash. I mean, you could if you want to be aggressive. Okay, center values. You've got O'Quinn. I already talked about O'Quinn. O'Quinn is very interesting to me. Spend all the way down, lock in a guy who's going to get some minutes in a second unit. We know what O'Quinn can do in a good situation. He'll be in a pretty good situation, and it's that second unit front court. And, you know, he's not going to get Julius Randle. And, you know, I think O'Quinn is in an interesting spot, is my point. Second unit, for sure. Lou Williams taking 45 shots. O'Quinn rebounds. I don't mind it. He could end up with the same number of fantasy points as Hernan Gomez. Now, he has a terrible floor. He has like a 4-point floor. So be careful with O'Quinn. Be careful what you wish for there. Lucas Nogueira, though, will also get the start for Patrick Patterson. He's been very so-so lately. Gosh, the guy's a physical talent. Like, he's huge and he can block shots. And he just doesn't really have, you know, NBA level experience yet. So Nogueira is in play just because the minutes will be there, but you don't love it. Okay, let's go on to lineup lock. Of course, this is where I'm going to build a cash core lineup for you guys. This is one example. I mean, an 11-game slate is just absolutely insane, the number of different types of lineups that you can come up with. But this is one example, I think, that really works well. It's interesting. I don't know if it's exactly what I'm going to end up with. I'm going to take a look again at, you know, situation, pace, try to figure out where I really want to target on this slate. But I think this works pretty well as a starting spot. And it's about the core, you know, it's the core guys that we talked about. Okay, point guard, Yogi Ferrell and D'Angelo Russell, both in really good DVP and pace situations, given I don't think that Deron Williams will play. I got the sense that he was doubtful. At shooting guard, it's Jamal Crawford and Seth Curry. Talked about both of them. They're at really nice prices. They're both playing well. I think they could easily get you 30. Then at small forward, TJ Warren and Andrew Wiggins. I don't know if I'm going to stay on Wiggins. I got to be honest with you. You know, Matt Barnes is available. But I like Wiggins as kind of an additional ceiling opportunity in the core of my lineup. He definitely is a ceiling type play. Then at power forward, this is where people are going to be like, whoa, this is interesting. Jokic and Griffin. Yeah, I fit them both in. I like them both for 50 tonight in their situations. And I just, yeah, I mean, give me Jokic and Griffin. I mean, that's just kind of like a nice, really, really interesting way to construct lineups. You know, if people are on Wall or LeBron or whatever, but, you know, I don't know. You don't have to have both. You know, obviously, if you get off of one of them, you can pay for a number of other positions and really kind of bump up your lineup across the board. But I don't think that anybody else is in a bad spot on this slate here that I have. And then at center, it's Willy Hernangómez at 53. So it leaves me $200. And like I said, it's kind of a weird construction, but I do love Jokic and I do love Griffin and I love power forward spending up tonight. You know, you can spend down at power forward. It's kind of more traditional and spend up at point guard. But like, I think Ferrell and Russell are in good situations. It's a little chasey. And, you know, and if I get scared of that chase, then I will definitely get off Ferrell and Russell. And maybe I'll, you know, find a way to get some, get on to maybe even a George Hill doesn't bother me. You know, I could easily get off Ferrell and go to George Hill at 5'8". That's not really that chasey, and that's kind of a nice, solid cash game play. It's just there's not a lot of upside to George Hill in a pace-down matchup, you know. Maybe get on some I don't mind the Clippers guys tonight, Rivers, and, you know, maybe get some Collison in my life if we get some Bulls news. I don't know. You know, Felton is interesting. Michael Carter-Williams becomes interesting if Jimmy is out. So, you know, there's a lot of ways that this could go. There's going to be a lot of changes. There's definitely going to be some more news, I'm sure. But that's where I'm at right now. Ferrell, Russell, Crawford, Curry, Warren and Wiggins, Jokic and Griffin, and then Hernangómez at center. So, all right, guys, hit me up on Twitter. Please subscribe on iTunes, etc. We are growing every single day. And for all those who wrote reviews, I appreciate it. It really means a lot to me to see positive reviews. And I just like, you know, it's just awesome. Hit me up for my barbecue takes. Hit me up for my beer takes. I got them both. I'm a brewer and a barbecuer. And hey, Shane Kenny, your Joel Embiid Trust the Process t-shirt on the way in the mail, my friend. You'll probably get it around Valentine's Day because I love you. I never met you, Shane. I'm just saying. I appreciate you listening, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. All right, guys. Good luck in your contest tonight. And I will see you tomorrow.